Late Night Mysteries listeners. Thank you for tuning in to today's Late Night Mysteries episode. Today's episode, we have chosen an email from a listener who claimed that he had an encounter, an unforgettable, strange, but scary experience when his bike broke down in the middle of the road in the dead of night. He'd think it was some technical fault and leave it at that. But what if something else prevented him from continuing his journey? Something that wants to play tricks on him. Something he cannot see, and he only had his imagination to figure out how it happened. I am Wraith. This is Late Night Mysteries.
Disclaimer, this is a work of fiction. Any names, characters, businesses, places, events, or incidents are fictitious. Any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, or actual events is purely coincidental.
In today's episode, Baharin, one of our Late Night Mysteries team, will read this listener's tale. Hand over to you, Baharin.
Thank you, Wraith. Hello to all my Late Night Mysteries listeners. I'm Baharin. I will be reading about this listener's scary experience, which happened in Kuching, Sarawak, in eastern Malaysia. This listener quotes, "Hello, Wraith. My name is Iskandar. I live in Kuching, Sarawak, Malaysia. I remember an incident when I was a student at one of a private university in Kuching. But my story is not about a haunted rented apartment or a possessed roommate living with an ancestral curse. Rather, it's about a scary sighting by a god who luckily chanced upon us on that particular night. I wouldn't want to imagine what would have happened to us if he was not there on time. I worked part-time as a rental car salesman to fund my fees at a private university downtown. My boss allowed me to come and go as I deemed fit as long as I kept to my side of the bargain, delivering the cars to the customer and acquiring prompt payment. I had also recently gained a lot of popularity from the local public university students who had constantly requested suitable cars for short-term rental. One day, I got a text from a student who urgently wanted to rent a car at 7 a.m. the next morning. It was almost 11 p.m. and I had an early class the next morning, but as he was a regular and he had transferred the amount almost immediately together with a huge tip for me, I decided to go the extra mile and deliver the car to him right away. My friend Nizam, who likes to hang out at the shop, agreed to accompany me with his trusty motorbike. So I drove the car towards the campus with Nizam following closely at the back. Unlike the private university I attended downtown, this local university occupies a massive, sprawling land space with different gates leading to the main road. Usually by 12 p.m., the only gate that remained open would be the main gate, and they usually required some form of identification before the guards would let you in with a visitor's pass. But that night, a guard, Uncle Hassan, seeing my familiar face, just gave a friendly wave and let us in. We delivered the car to the student's private residential hostel in the heart of the campus, and he came down to get the keys from me, thanking me profusely for delivering at such short notice. Nizam handed me his spare helmet, and we quickly sped out of there. We would have to drive past the lake from the middle of the campus. During the day, it would be a scenic and calming ride. However, it's another story altogether in the dead of night like this. The place was deserted, with just the street lights lining the road. The lake on the left of us was like a black shroud blanketing the ground against the darkness of the moonless night. The trees lining the right side of the road looked like giant sentries standing guard against the forest beyond its boundaries. I tried not to look around and concentrated on the road ahead as I peeked over Nizam's shoulders. Just as I feared, it was not long before Nizam's bike slowed down, sputtered, and somehow went dead. Nizam cursed and tried to start it again, but it just refused to make any sound. I got off the bike and dared myself to look around. It was eerily quiet. I stepped up onto the curb and walked a few steps away, my back towards the lake, and lit a cigarette, more to calm myself than anything else. Nizam gave up after a few tries and joined me for a smoke. We stood there, staring at the machine. "Strange, I just pumped the full tank," he whispered loudly to me. "Why are you whispering?" I asked him. He shrugged. The sound of a motorcycle down the road caught our attention. It was a guard whom I was not familiar with. As we are not students from this university, and we did not have a visitor pass with us, we could land in a sticky situation if this guard were to stop and start asking questions. He moved slowly past us, looking intently as we tried to appear as nonchalant as possible. We thought we could pass off as a couple of residents on a midnight smoke after hours of serious studying. He stopped his bike a few meters down the road without getting off. He turned and signaled with his hands for us to walk to him. Thinking that we were done for, we slowly walked towards him, trying to keep our cool. "Problem with the bike?" he asked. I decided to confess and told him about my business of delivering a car to a customer and that we were leaving. He listened, but he kept looking back towards our bike. "Go and take your helmets. I'll give you guys a lift towards the main gate. Leave the bike here for the time being," he instructed. Something in his tone made me hesitate. "Go now," he said firmly, but his eyes remained steadfast on the bike. As we walked back to retrieve the helmets, the hairs on my arm stood, and a cold wind blew sharply on my left ear. I shoved Nizam's helmet towards his chest, and we quickly jogged back to the guard, who was still waiting for us. He scooted a bit to the front while Nizam and I squeezed ourselves behind him. It was uncomfortable, with Nizam sitting between us, and I had to hang on to dear life at the back, but we somehow made it to the main gate in one piece. As soon as we alighted, the guard explained, "I thought there were three of you when I pulled up just now. Only when I got nearer did I realize there were actually two of you. The third person was that thing holding onto your bike. It was taller than both of you and had red eyes. While you were explaining your predicament just now, it was staring at me, angry that I interrupted its fun." Nizam stared at him, open-mouthed. I was speechless and remembered the cold wind blowing on my left ear. I rubbed my left ear, self-consciously, and the guard smiled knowingly. "By the way, can I have back your visitor pass? You need to return it back to us before leaving," the guard reminded us. "Uncle Hassan let us in just now. We were always delivering cars to residents here, and he was quite familiar with us. Usually, he would issue passes, but he just waved us through just now," I explained. "Uncle Hassan, you said?" asked the guard, seeking confirmation. We nodded enthusiastically. "Uncle Hassan has been on hospital leave for a month since last week. He is recuperating in his hometown. I am covering his shift for this month." Nizam and I could just stare at each other. Words just refused to form the 1001 questions we had in our minds. The guard chuckled and shook his head. He told us to call for a taxi and to come back tomorrow morning to retrieve Nizam's bike. Fortunately, at that moment, a taxi that had dropped off a resident was on its way out, and we quickly flagged it down. "Don't worry, the bike will be okay tomorrow morning. Trust me," he told us as his parting last words before he waved us off. The next day, I skipped my morning class and went to the campus grounds again. This time, with my boss, a prop pass was issued at the main gate. My boss was curious about our adventures last night and just wanted to have an excuse to look around the campus where he used to study years ago. As expected, Nizam's bike stood at the exact spot where we left it last night. He inserted the key and then it purred to life. Unbelievable. I have accepted the fact that this would happen, since the guard had already told us about the thing that held onto the bike last night. But the question that still haunts me till now, if Uncle Hassan was on long leave, then who let us in last night? I still had chills on me when writing this email to you. I hope that was the one and only experience I'd encountered. I don't want that to happen to me again. Thank you for reading and have a blessed day.
Some would conclude that the guard that found them was not telling the truth and only told them the sighting to deter them from coming and going as they pleased without a pass into the campus again. However, how do you explain a perfectly good bike with a full tank would just sputter and go dead in the middle of the road? And what about the guard who just waved them in without issuing a pass? We leave it to you to conclude your own ending. So So, if you want to drop us feedback or have any stories to share, email us at latenightmysteries@gmail.com. Alternatively, you may send them to our Late Night Mysteries social media platforms on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. And don't forget to follow and share our podcast on Spotify and all our social media platforms, as mentioned. Once again, I am Wraith. Thank you for listening, and I will see you on the next episode of Late Night Mysteries.